Welcome to the Icon Athlete Podcast. This is Chris Spieler, an Icon Athlete has been a passion of mine since transitioning from competition. My goal is to provide you with a broad range of information to help a variety of CrossFit athletes and coaches. From the most elite to the weekend warrior, the affiliate owner, and anyone in between, I want to provide you with education, inspiration, and hopefully some entertainment along the way. Welcome back to the Icon Athlete Podcast, guys. This is Chris Spieler. I've got a guest that I'm really excited to bring to you guys today. A good friend of mine, and largely I just have a lot of respect for the guy. Super knowledgeable, and I worked with him on Level 1 staff for a number of years and have competed against him and alongside of him. Guys, we brought Adrian Conway on. Adrian, thanks for jumping on with us, man.
Dude, thanks for having me. Very honored.
Yeah, and I know for those of you guys that are listening, Adrian's a little under the weather, but he's a trooper, man. He's still showing up for us, so thanks, bro.
Yeah, no problem. You guys will just have to forgive me for sounding a little under the weather.
All good. So let's fill these guys in a little bit of background about you. For those of you guys that don't know, Adrian, you were on the Hackspack crew that won the games 2 years in a row, correct?
Yes, yep, 2012 and 2013.
And then after that, you went individual in 14 and 15, right?
Right. But 15 or 14, that's the year that I got injured 2 days prior to regionals and was unable to compete that year.
Yep. And so that's when you tore like your pec, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Doing all those ring dips.
Yeah.
And then in 2015, last year, what place did you get last year? I forget.
Overall, I finished 21st.
Awesome, man. Really good. And I think, I'm trying to think, what was your best finish last year at the games?
You know, my best finish was Murph. I finished 7th in Murph, so.
That's awesome. And if you guys aren't familiar, Adrian's not a small guy. So Murph is not his jam, but it just goes to show that I think you really know how to train smart and you train well, work your weaknesses. So. Let's talk a little bit about that, man. I have a ton of respect for you, for a couple reasons. One, mainly just because you're a grounded dude and I think you have great perspective on training, on life and things like that. But I also have a huge appreciation for your knowledge. For those of you guys that don't know, Adrian works with Brute Strength and you do some programming for those guys, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yep. A lot of it. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And you have some one-on-one clients and all sorts of stuff as well. So Adrian really knows what he's doing and you apply that to yourself. And one of the things I saw that you recently said, I think it was on a Brute podcast or it was just on like your social media, is, you know, this concept of, hey, I don't want to offend anybody out there, but most people want to go to the CrossFit Games, but they aren't willing to do what it takes to get there, or they may not know what that is.
Right.
I mean, what's that look like? Because you and I have had that conversation before in the past, and I know, you know, when we were working level ones and stuff together, we would talk about that at times, but maybe elaborate on that a little bit. Like, what do you mean by just that concept?
Well, I mean, gosh, it looks a lot of different ways, I think, and Chris, you can speak for this, but we interact with a lot of people, you know, whether it be, you know, from your athletic background or from teaching CrossFit and running a gym, even teaching level one seminars or even just out on the competition floor, you know, people looking up to you and getting to interact with you. And it's like it never fails that people will approach you and seeking advice or they're going to be reaching out to you and looking for programming. And they come to you ultimately with the goal that they want to be a regionals athlete, or, you know, a few years ago it was about making it to the CrossFit Games, and everyone felt like if they put in what they thought were the right things or put in work that looked a lot like what they saw you doing, Chris, or what they saw or perceived me doing as an athlete, that they would then make it there. And so I think what I've noticed in the last few years, obviously, is as our sport of CrossFit becomes more of a professional tiered sport. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, there was once a time, I believe, in our sport that if you had the appropriate exposure to it and had the work ethic.
Yep.
And then obviously could stay healthy, that like you could have a pretty good shot of making it to the CrossFit Games, because it was in such its infancy. And yeah. So now we have this approach where, you know, we get a lot more media attention. There are a lot more financial aids out there for athletes, whether it be sponsorship or even winning competitions. And so it's just people literally manage their lifestyles around this sport. And so now, since so many other people see that, they're like, oh, this is an attractive thing. I think I want to do that.
Yeah.
And I say the key word of like, think they want to do that, because it often turns into, you know, they really love to work out and they believe that what they're doing as working out, maybe at their CrossFit gym or even in their garage, they're just going to kind of turn that up a couple notches and then have the opportunities to either be a regional levels athlete or be a games athlete. Yeah. And to kind of bring that back to where your question was, is that like, we're at the point now in our sport where training is what you must do, not just work out. And so I get a lot of athletes that'll be like, hey, Adrian, I want to make it to the regional. Could you help me? And maybe they sign up to be a brute strength athlete. And as they do that, you know, they come across things that we're asking them to do. And these are just a few small things, but like a 60-minute row as a tester, yeah. Right? Like everyone's going to dread that. It's not the funnest thing for anybody, whether you succeed at a high level at that or it's one of your weaknesses. And there's a lot of other testers that we do. But the point of it is that they see certain things and they're like, you know, I don't really think this is going to help me as an athlete, or I don't understand why I should be doing this. So I'm just going to hop in my class workout today, Adrian. I hope that you don't mind. And I'm going to do the WOD instead of linear strength progression that you have me doing. That's at tempos with set amount of rest and X amount of work. And
it's not exciting. It's not flashy.
It's not, right. It's not exciting. It's not flashy. And the reason that I really made that video, and it was one of the brute shoot videos, is what you're like referring to, Chris. It's kind of like me ranting about uncoachable athletes. And it's because people think they have this idea that, you know, they just can work hard or jump in the WOD any given day and maybe do more of that. And that's what's going to get them to their goals. But now we're at the point where you have to have a really well-rounded and a huge baseline of approach in regards to like, how are you going to periodize your training throughout the course of the year in order to really have that success in the open, in order to have that success at the regional level, to even give yourself a chance at making it to the games.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's great. It's great to hear that is also, you know, just different training perspectives. You know, I know with Icon, we periodize things as well. And we do that. I'm a huge fan of classic CrossFit, you know, and I know that you are too, in the sense that like, we can never let that go. You know, it's like we can never not do CrossFit. And that's one of the things that I found interesting in that shift, because I believe the same thing you do, where there's athletes, you know, that they want to go to the games or they want to go to regionals. And, or maybe even if they're just like are focusing on local competition and they start to see all these other programs, right? So there's a lot of programs out there, or accessory programs, where it's like, okay, well, I need to get strong, so I need to lift, or maybe now I need to, essentially have something where, you know, I have a gymnastics bias, or maybe it's something where I need to have, more focus on endurance. And what I find is people sometimes get caught up in the accessory programs and they forget to do CrossFit, right? So it's like they're doing this endurance piece and this gymnastics piece and this strength piece, but then they don't do CrossFit. And in my experience, they kind of lose the fitness aspect and they get better at pieces, but not at the whole.
Oh, yeah. That can definitely happen. And I do feel as though, you know, there are programs out there that can do a good job of when and how they go about that. But there's no question that if you aren't playing our sport the way that, or I should say, if you're not practicing our sport the way that it's played, the increases in capacity will never get a chance to show, right? It's like, hey, you can get strong on a barbell, but then when we smack you in the face and you're tired and fatigued, that barbell seems a lot heavier. And while you were strong when you were fresh, you're no longer strong while you're fatigued. And so you have to be exposed to that. There's definitely no question. And I think this time of year for most athletes is obviously when they have to be making that a priority. It's just like a football player, or like for you as a wrestler, Chris, even in college, you know, it's like you focused on particular things at different times of the year, but the closer that wrestling season came, wrestling certainly took the priority, right? Like you might've been doing your conditioning and other means outside of the mats, you know, in the absence of your season. But once that season started to roll around, man, you guys were probably doing a little less running and a little more wrestling and a little more time on those mats, and the drill work really reflected what your matches looked like and your recovery time. And it was the same way for us as football players. You know, when I was in college and playing all my life, it's just that as you approach that season, as we're approaching now the season of CrossFit, our sport, with the Open just around the corner, it is extremely important that now every aspect of your training regime is starting to meld together to make sure that you're actually simulating, you know, your game day type experience.
Yeah. And another thing that I think you and I have had conversations on that I really think goes a long way and most people underestimate, especially now, is what's our previous experience. And I think that athletes that are excited about going to the games, which is awesome, you know, we want to support that and never try to crush someone's dreams, but part of that is, hey, what's our previous experience? And sometimes people would ask me the question of, hey Chris, like, how did you get so strong for your size? And the answer, it probably isn't what people wanted to hear, but it was basically, well, hey, I started lifting when I was 13 years old and I started wrestling when I was 6. And like that, so like that led up, you know, I started that when I was so young, and you know, wrestling involves all sorts of body weight, strength and awareness and gymnastics pieces and warm-ups and things like that. And then as I got more involved with that, just like we talked about, part of my season involved lifting, and that, you know, looked different in different parts of the season. And, you know, that kind of snowballed into, once I got out of college, I stumbled into this thing called CrossFit and was there at the right place at the right time and continued to evolve with the sport. But I think people often neglect to see that there are probably very few games athletes, or athletes that are kind of the tip of the spear, that don't have essentially like a lifetime of training under them, and not a sedentary lifestyle where suddenly I've gotten into CrossFit 2 or 3 years ago. Not that those people don't exist, but it's pretty rare.
Oh yeah. I completely agree. And yeah, I do. You know, I'm sure that we've had a lot of these conversations, heck, in our times working together, but man, it's like, And I have that same conversation with people, and they're like, Adrian, you know, well, how did you get to this point? And I tell them, like, honestly, like, I don't mean to make this sound dramatic, but gosh, when I showed up at the CrossFit Games in 2015 as an individual athlete, you know, I'd been training my entire life for that opportunity.
Yeah.
Really. You know, now obviously as a 15-year-old learning how to lift weights, like I didn't even know what CrossFit was or think about the CrossFit Games. But when I now can reflect about, you know, my experiences as a competitive athlete and learning how to train properly and put in the work and build that really broad base of whether it's kinesthetic awareness or, you know, body weight strength capacity or barbell strength capacity, like all those things are what brought me to where I, you know, currently was. And I think if you kind of just only try to segment all the more time that I've been doing CrossFit, then it honestly cheapens my training experience as an athlete. Because honestly, you know, my 2011 was my first year competing as an athlete in CrossFit, and even getting to train in a gym with someone else's eyes on me. And it was like, people were like, oh my gosh, you're brand new to this stuff. And it's like, yeah, I was new to what this sport was, but I had been training, gosh, for, you know, 8 or 9 years prior to that. So
yeah, I remember you coming to your level one. And I think I taught your level one, and I remember it was some of your first exposure to it, and you cracked out, like, I want to say it was like a 220 Fran or something like that.
No, yeah, I think I went, no, because I did Fran. I remember that, man. I remember it vividly. Trust me, it was like a, because I had to do it with dumbbells, and it just wrecked.
I did it
with dumbbells at your gym, and it was like a 315 or something. But then
still, though, I mean, wrecked. That is cooking.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, trust me, I felt it. I came up to that seminar with a buddy, and when we're driving down the canyon, you know, he's like driving me back to my apartment. We had to pull over. Like it was bad. Like I thought I was puking in his car for sure.
That's awesome.
Damn it.
But that's, I think people, you know, so I think sometimes people are, they want to say, oh, Adrian's just a freak of nature, you know, and his, some of his first exposure to CrossFit, he does a 315 Fran. And it's, the answer isn't that Adrian's a freak of nature. Some of those guys are for sure, but it's, the answer is that Adrian's worked his butt off since he was 14 or 15 years old. And it's right. just now that this is the avenue that it's applied in versus the football field or the wrestling mat or whatever, fill in the blank for any of those athletes.
Right. Exactly. Yep. And I think it's, you know, it's important for everyone to realize that, because it's, this journey is not just like that short and, you know, immediate type of reward system that some people might, you know, vision that it being. It is certainly, there's that delay, you know, and kind of the journey that you got to chase, and you got to be willing to put in the time.
For sure. So what does, since you're still training, what does your training look like now, Adrian? I mean, if I'm kind of looking at you as the outsider, right, you're a bigger guy, you're super strong. You're not the strongest of the bunch, but your strength is a good thing for you. You know, endurance is something that I've seen you work on a good bit, just because with the football background, you were used to kind of the short bursts. But if I'm looking at you from the outsider, it's like continued work on endurance, a lot of the pressing, the pulling movements in gymnastics, and then even some of like the real short burst stuff, like the real short workouts. What's that look like for you now? You know, how is your training this time of year? What have you done leading up to it? And what are you doing now?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. And to be very honest, my training has, you know, always been constantly evolving. And, you know, I try to help my experience with this be something that leads the athletes that I work with, and even how I program for people, just continuing to keep that in mind. But, you know, like you said, I came into the sport with a pretty decent work capacity, because of my background in football, and I was strong already. So immediately when I came into CrossFit, I there were a few things that I absolutely had to focus on, and skills was the number one thing, building my ability to do a handstand pushup, to be able to learn how to do a butterfly pull up, to muscle ups and those kind of things. So I would say for almost the first 2 years, which, you know, ironically enough, I was training with Tommy a lot, and he had similar weaknesses to me. So I got to really feed off of his guidance early in my experience. And, you know, we spent a lot of time doing endurance work and a ton of gymnastics work. And for us, that looked like us maybe getting an opportunity to move a heavy barbell if we were lucky twice a week, because we had to prioritize everything else. And so for those 2 years that I was on that team, those were my focuses. And I was still continuing to try to make myself as well-rounded as possible, even though we were on a team at that point. And then what I started to notice was I did really improve my endurance, and I certainly improved my skills. And then for me, I started to notice a little bit of a weakness then start to creep in, where it was in a workout, a very traditional CrossFit style workout that ranged from about, you know, 5 minutes to about 10 minutes. Because then once I got outside of 10 minutes, man, I was feeling good. Like I could start to kick into that pacing strategy that I'd learned so well.
Yeah.
And I could break up my reps smart. Like all those things started to end up in my favor. So then for the middle chunk of my career, I had to really get back to focusing on the goodness of what was, you know, what we consider classic CrossFit. And obviously to me, that was like, sweet, I get to just have fun every day now, because, you know, I spent all that time rowing 60 minutes, running for an hour and a half. Like it was a grind for me to really work on my endurance, but I got to bring it back full circle and start to really train CrossFit in its traditional form. And nowadays, man, I'm honestly just trying to keep a really good balance. And it's funny because, you know, I'm 31 now, and so many of the athletes are so strong that, you know, it's really still something that now I have to get back to, is really thinking about pushing up my front squat and pushing up my overhead squat to help my Olympic lifts continue to climb. And not that I'm the weakest guy, but many of the events, you know, that we have seen in the last few years, you know, they're decided by, gosh, you know, man, I was on the outside looking in from the CrossFit Games last year, 7 points out. And when I looked back and reviewed some, you know, footage from the weekend and everything, it was like, I missed the games by like 8 seconds last year. So it's one of those things where, you know, for me, nowadays it's as well-rounded as I can and still continually to try to push up my strength numbers.
And that's interesting because I think, with the personality of CrossFitters and maybe some of the listeners, people that work with you, people that I work with, sometimes they want to be like, oh, well, Adrian made it to the game, so now I need to row and do endurance for 90 minutes a day, which is funny because I think it's a good conversation because I was the polar opposite. I mean, it was like you couldn't come up with a different training program between you and I. I
think, right, exactly.
You know, and so mine was completely opposite. I had essentially periods of my training where every single day was touching a heavy barbell, whether that was, you know, working on ones to threes, or maybe it was barbell cycling and stamina, or it could be, you know, what we would call giant sets where it's more hypertrophy and time under tension and all this stuff. But I would do that 4 to 5 days a week, and one day a week I would do, you know, classic CrossFit type stuff. And that's because that's what I needed to be as well-rounded as possible. And the other thing I think is interesting that you hit on and that I focused on as well is, you know, you're a strong guy and I'm good at bodyweight stuff. And if we want to do well, if we wanted to go to the games or do well at the games, we have to do well at that event. I know for me,
right,
especially like if I spent too much time, if I just got, you know, if I spent all my time increasing my mass, you know, just increasing my body weight, and a workout like 30 burpee muscle ups comes up, if I don't win that, that could mean the difference of me not going to the CrossFit Games or not placing. When those things come up, I had to place top three. And I feel like you're kind of that same guy where when something comes up, that's your strength, it's like you got to show up and place top three, because we might see other things, which for me was always like, you know, just the heavy lift that's going to pull us back.
Certainly. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's a bit of gamesmanship there, right? And then some very honest conversations that you have to have with yourself as an athlete as well. And that's where coaching can be so valuable, yeah. You know, having someone there to lead you or stand by your side and look maybe from the outside in to help you diagnose those issues. You know, one thing, I don't think that we're really having this conversation very much in our sport yet, but you know that as the population grows in our sport, that the athletes, you know, in each region change, they develop, they adapt. And we see new faces all the time. And I think there's something to be said now to even understand who you're competing against in each region. Mm-hmm. It's like if you know that you could potentially be a top 8 or top 10 guy at your regional, I think it's actually really important to understand that when those workouts get released, who has the potential to finish where and where are you going to be able to make up some points? You know,
yeah. It's like
for me, I take a look back at our region. Currently, the Super South Regional, and it is an extremely strong region, like very strong athletes. If you watch guys complete the snatch ladder last year, like, you know, execute a series of things, like I would definitely consider us, you know, like that's where the majority of our athletes would fall, is a little bit towards the strength side.
Yeah.
So it was always important for me to understand that, okay, on the chipper, like I definitely have to get top three, or I have to, you know, execute that top four position, because I don't know if I'm strong enough to hang top 5 in the snatch ladder or top, you know, 3 in the max effort clean and jerk or whatever it might be. But
yep.
So I think that's something that we got to, you know, in the future of our sport, definitely understand is where will the field stack up?
That's interesting, man. Yeah. It's, I actually haven't kind of thought of that, mainly because I think I'm just so focused on what I need to do.
Right.
But I think that's, like you said, the value of a coach, you know, hey, they can focus on that and they can let you know where you should be kind of shooting to fall in line and things like that, if that's something that's helpful. One thing that I've noticed, and I have never really talked much about this because I always kind of, I don't know, I always, not that I disagreed with it, but I think as our sports evolved, I think it's also been really interesting to see how there is turning into a specific body type that's going to lend itself really well to CrossFit. I think we talked about maybe like the polar ends a little bit, like, hey, if you're really big or really small, it's not looking good. But I'll tell you what, man, if you're kind of in this like 5'8 to 5'9, if you're a guy, you know, 5'8, 5'9, anywhere from a buck 90 to 205, you got a recipe for some pretty effective fitness, at least the potential, right?
Oh, completely.
I mean, I think guys over 6'1 and over 210 are probably going to start to see some more events come up that are going to get pulling them further outside their comfort zone. And anyone, not so much on the height, because if guys are short, for the most part, it can help them. But anyone under a buck 80, maybe 185, you're going to start to see yourself get pulled pretty far outside your comfort zone at some point.
Yep. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's where it's important for those athletes to focus on that well-rounded piece where we can be as fit as we possibly can, but all the more important that when we see our strength show up, we got to try to place top three.
Have to. And I think, like, you bring up a great point, and I think it's legit, because, you know, like we talked about earlier, as this sport becomes more even of a professional pursuit, it's going to come down to seconds. And, you know, the size of your body and the distance that the bar has to travel is significant when we talk about, you know, it's not just like, gosh, but this guy's just so fit, it doesn't matter anymore, because now everyone's extremely fit. And so the way that you can cycle the barbell in a thruster and the way that you can cycle the barbell in a squat snatch actually do matter a tremendous amount. Heck, even in a wall ball event like this year at regionals, where you watch, like, heck, I mean, I'll tell you, in my heat, it was 104 wall balls or something, or 102?
Yeah.
It was like 104 into 50, whatever pull-ups. I went unbroken on that workout and I got fourth. And there was just nothing, like, I don't know what I could have done faster to go, man. It was just that my hip to get below the top of my knee and then return back to the top, you know, and then the time for me to do those pull-ups. Like, it was just people cycled them faster. So I think anthropomology will be something that we take a deeper look in our sport down the road. For me, like, I'm using myself as an example, but I'm 5'11", so I'm not the tallest guy.
Yeah.
But I have extremely short torso. So, like, my femurs and my arms are long.
Yep.
Which served me really well in field sports, man. Like, it's good. I'm meant to jump high and run really fast and change direction. Like, it's a fantastic thing there. But in the sport of CrossFit, when
not
we're like
so much.
Yeah. It's just, you know, and I can compare Tommy and I. Tommy's a taller athlete at 6'1".
Yeah. Yeah. But Tommy's the outlier.
Exactly. But then even his dimensions, like his arm length versus his torso length, if you watch him move and then watch me move, like, beside each other, like, the dimensions and the way that his body lines up almost still acts in his favor more so than mine.
More proportionate.
I think that's something that'll be even another step that we take, because I think it's like, what, we've got Tommy, like, you know, Spencer Hendel. Like, see,
Doug and I were talking about him the other day. We were like, because Doug, he works here. You know Doug Zakaris. He judged Spencer during Double DT, and I was like, hey, I was like, what did Spencer get on that? And Doug was like, you know, I think he got like a top 10 finish. And I was like, man, that right there, that's a perfect example. I was like, he on that workout is no less fit than Matt Frazier or any guy out there, but you're just slower. Because Spencer's what, like 6'2"?
Yeah.
Like, he's a tall, big dude. And that does not help when you're standing next to a guy like Matt Frazier.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And I think that's even the unique discussion of, like, our sport and its specific parts. So, like, in the open, you know, I think that obviously that shorter athlete, and more times than not, may have the advantage. And then at the regional level, because we're working out in more of an open space, and sometimes the tasks involve you moving or running or jumping a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I think it's more of that an even playing field. And even when you get to the games, of course, you got events that are just barbell cyclical, like double DT. But heck, man, we're out there climbing ropes, we're sprinting, we're running, we're swimming. So yeah. I do think that's even more of a well-balanced playing field. So it's almost like the further that we get along, if the taller guys get a chance to make it through, they could actually have a really good opportunity to shine depending on what's asked of them at the CrossFit Games.
Yeah, especially when you start getting some of the odd stuff. I know, like, in 2000, I think it was 2015, when the guys had to flip the pig.
Oh, yeah. And Spencer just crushed that.
Oh, my gosh, right? Just went crazy. Berserk. And it's because, obviously, he's super strong and fit, but he's really tall. And the interesting thing there is, like, if you look at Austin Maliolo, Austin is the complete opposite. The guy can deadlift. I think his deadlift is almost 600, or his best ever is 600.
Yeah, I think it is six or more, yeah.
Oh, and it's because his arms are like already hanging at his knees. He's like an ape, you know? Yep. His torso is so short, and is like, it's just, he's got this odd build, but even though he can deadlift 605, because of his height and his build, the pig, I think he flipped it twice.
Right.
And he was just stuck. And it doesn't mean that Austin's not fit. It doesn't mean that he's not strong. But man, there are certain things that pop up where it pays to have a certain body type.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to watch. It's interesting to see that happen over the course of a competition or a workout and see how that can affect the role of the sport and the outcome.
Oh, of course. I agree. I think it's, I mean, even to give Spencer a shout out for that pig flip, like, he was in my heat. and like, look, you know, I go out on that field, man. I'm like out for blood, right? Like, we're all out there. We got one thing in mind, and it's like, let's try to win our heat, you know, or let's see what we could do here. And I think it was like, I was somewhere in the middle, and I was beside like Graham Holmberg, and Dan Bailey was like to my other side. And literally, Spencer's like kind of out. I think he was like maybe one of the end guys, like on the left or the right.
Yeah.
And we all flip it maybe like once or maybe twice. And he's just already like onto his fourth or fifth flip. And literally like we like look side to side. And like, I think like all of us literally like chuckled out loud and just laughed about it because it was comical how easy he made it look. And then we watched each other like flip this thing and how difficult it was. It was amazing.
Yeah, man. I remember the same thing when we were doing the freaking, it was 2014, I think. Oh, maybe it was 2012. Oh gosh, I forget. It was when the first time we had to push that blasted sled and Neil Maddox grabbed that thing. Neil Maddox was standing next to me and I remember I was right next to him and I thought, oh, this is not my jam. Like, you got to be big and powerful and like, this is not my thing.
Yeah.
And dude, Neil grabbed that thing and took off like a freaking rocket. It was like he just sprinted down the field and I'm just stopping, trying to get it moving again, stopping, and it was just crazy. Uh-oh. Crazy to see how fast he could do that. Part of it is obviously his experience with football and his fitness and whatnot, but the guy was built for that, you know.
Oh yeah.
But it's also great to see guys like yourself that also put in the work and you finish seventh in Murph. You know, it's like that's not supposed to happen. A guy like Matt Frazier that's, you know, puts in the work and he wins the sprint and the 7K. Like, what? That's not supposed to happen. But
it's amazing.
Yeah, but the reason that happens, and I'd say even more so than any kind of magical program or the perfect key, is just a lot of hard freaking work, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of hard work, man. And it's, you know, it's I think it's a lot of time, even on your own, you know, whether it's interval work or whatever it is that you got to do to build that capacity to make sure that, you know, that's not a particular weakness of yours or it's something that you're bringing up. It's just a lot of hard work. It's doing the things that other people talk about doing and doing them really hard. Or it's, you know, it's the setting aside extra time in your day to commit to, you know, the non-sexy stuff that a lot of people aren't drawn to in order to set yourself apart.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about, I think one of the things that we often neglect, we don't really talk about this as athletes. And when people hear like, oh, you know, an athlete at that level, it's your full-time job. you know, there's hours and hours in the gym for sure. But what we don't talk about is what that looks like outside of the gym. And I mean, for me, the time outside of the gym, in some ways, the lifestyle that I had to live there was more important than what I'd put in the gym. And recovery, when you're training that much, is like, you've got to be on top of it. You have to be. I know. I mean, I used to like, I would go to sleep whenever I was tired, and I didn't teach any of the morning classes anymore. I'd just wake up whenever I would wake up. I'd take Rourke to school, come in the gym, get here about 9:30, and I'd train until like 1:30. And then I'd go pick up Rourke and I'd go home. I'd take a nap on the couch, like with Normatec boots on. Then I'd like stretch out, foam roll. Sarah would just make me food and cook for me, and I'd just eat constantly. Might go back in the gym and train more, come back, eat more, no more Normatec boots, you know. Make it, it's just like the time outside the gym as well, I think, is what a lot of people don't see.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, you know, and it's taking the time to invest in, you know, massage work once or twice a week and chiropractic visits and, you know, interacting with people about your food and the content and the quality of that food and how to weigh and measure it appropriately. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to work with, you know, like a food service last year and get my food prepped and prepared. And so that was just one less thing that I had to worry about. And in fact, it was even already weighed and measured for me. So awesome. Yeah, man. And for me, that's been a constant, evolution. You know, a couple years ago, or even 2014 and 15 were probably the 2 years that I put in the most time of training. And, you know, my lifestyle definitely reflected that. It would, like you said, it was going to bed, when I was tired and then waking up when I wanted to, or when my body woke up, because I was maybe coaching early AM once a week, and that was on Fridays at like 5:30. But other than that, it was literally, I could wake up at 9 if I wanted, because I didn't coach until the afternoon. And so that allotted me, you know, a bunch of less stress on my body, plenty of time to recover and, you know, get the massage and get the foam rolling done and do the contrast baths and showers. And nowadays it looks a lot different, just due to the fact that, you know, I coach hundreds of athletes with brute strength training and checking in with them once a week via emails and sometimes calls. And, you know, like I just shared this with my athletes this weekend. Usually I do like a Facebook Live with them every Saturday.
Yep.
And I was talking about like, this year is like the first time, this is sad, but this is the first time that I've had to take my own advice as a coach, you know, like actually have to prioritize and demand that this time here is set aside for training. This time here is set aside for recovery. And like literally my days now, man, are like blocked out. Like this is 15 minutes here, 20 minutes here, 30 minutes doing this. Okay, now I'm back to the gym. This is for training. This is for coaching. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That is, man. And I think that, yeah, I mean, those are all those outside variables. That's so, as we, you know, to get to the games or to compete at the highest level, I feel like what I realized is the more I could eliminate those outside variables and just focus on training and recovery, the better the chance I had. And I think people don't always understand the dedication that it takes to do it like you're doing it, where, you know, we're still working. Work doesn't stop, you know, like still work. And even for athletes that are sponsored, most of them, like, let's be honest, most of the athletes that are out there, even though they're sponsored, it's probably not enough for them to live on. Maybe if you're a single guy, you know, and like you're just rocking it.
But maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But not like you. It's like you've got a wife, and congrats to you guys. You've got a little one on the way. It's like,
that's right.
You gotta, like, you know, that's a huge commitment. So, you know, that, just a ton of respect for you on that. And
thank you.
Yeah, and with that, what's like, what do you think, man, with the little one coming? What do you think? Like, I've always had a huge amount of respect for you, because I know for both you and I, we're grounded in our faith, and that's a big presiding thing in our lives, and I think that that grounds us. And I have a lot of respect for you with that. What's like, What do you think lies on the horizon with this perspective of life and, you know, you having a wife and now a little boy on the way? What do you foresee in the future?
Gosh, man, that's a really great question. And obviously something that I've been thinking about, I can't say over the last few months since we found out that we were expecting, cause it even, you know, started to be a train of thought before that. But, I think, and I don't mean to speak down upon any of us as athletes with CrossFit and our pursuit of it, but, I'm sure that you would agree, but there's a certain extent where CrossFit for us at this very high level becomes a very selfish pursuit.
Yeah.
Just being completely open and honest with you, it's just like, I've prayed about it. I've in my mind justified that no matter what, like, I'm only doing this to bring glory to God and like all these things, like, I do it to make my family proud. I do it to make my friends proud. I do it so that other people can enjoy the journey with me. But the bottom line is I certainly do it for myself. And I do it because it makes me happy and I love to compete and I want to be chasing the best level of this sport that I can all my life. But also be very honest about what it cost me. And everybody knows that, like, there's compromise and sacrifice in everything that we do in life. And so, for me at this point, it really looks like, I want to make sure no matter what, that I'm putting my family first in regards to my daily priorities. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, what helps me keep that in mind is simply my relationship with God and, you know, understanding that the more that I love God, the more that I love my wife, and the more that I love God, the more love that I will show to my son.
Yeah.
From an application standpoint, you know, I think it's a big balancing act. And for me to say that I want to be the fittest man in the world is not where my priorities truly lie anymore.
Yeah.
At one point that was something that I thought I wanted. And, certainly I chased it, you know, very strongly for at least 2.5 years,
yeah.
2013 season through the 2015 season. But then I honestly saw that I don't mean to burst my own bubble, but that may have just not been in the cards for me.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm one of those guys that, like, hey man, with all the hard work I put in, with everything that I've sacrificed, like making it to the CrossFit Games, is that kind of accomplishment for me. It's that pursuit of it and chasing it at its highest level that gives me that fulfillment. And so, you know, I'm not in it to be the fittest man in the world, but certainly to be able to give something that I am proud of and that my family can be proud of. And that, you know, when I look back on each training year and each training season, I want to say that I left no stone unturned. I don't ever want to guess what if I would have tried harder, but in the same fashion, within reason of prioritizing, you know, my relationship with God and my family first and foremost. And then obviously now, since there's someone extra to provide for me in my career.
Yeah.
So it's really just doing what I can when I can. And I know that's very loosely put, but each day that looks different for me. Some days I have 3 hours to train. Some days I have 90 minutes to train. And then some days I have 4 to 5 hours to train. So it's something that's an ongoing adaption and evolution, and I'll be figuring out along my way. This year, the plan is for me to actually get back to the CrossFit Games, but on a team. And so we're really excited about what that process may look like for Wasatch CrossFit.
That's great, man.
Yeah, and we'll be trying to make some official announcements with that in the next coming month or so.
That's really cool. Really, really cool. Well, good luck to you, bro. And if it gives you any perspective, I think you're completely right there. I tell people often when they ask about, you know, the games and stuff like that, in my experience, I tell them straight up that to be at the highest level is a selfish lifestyle. I was like, doesn't matter, regardless of our intentions, regardless of why we're doing it, it is a selfish lifestyle. And other people, you know, my wife and kids made sacrifices for me to do that. And I was just at the point where, very similar to you, I was like, you know what? There was a time where I wanted to be the fittest man in the world, and I knew that wasn't in the cards anymore, with my age, my size, the way my body felt. And I thought, you know what? For me, at that space in life, I thought it's not worth another year or two of me trying to claw my way back to the games,
yeah,
and missing that experience with my family, just because at the time my kids were older, you know.
Of course, right.
So I think it's awesome, man. I think it's awesome that that you have that perspective, you know, before the little one arrives. I think that's a huge step, brother. And I encourage you to, yeah, man, keep processing through that. And I just think, yeah, you'll crush it. It's awesome. And I think you'll crush the dad and the husband thing too. I know you will.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. A little nervous about that. I'll be the rookie for a while again.
So you'll be fine. You'll be good to go, bro. Oh. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Where can people find you, Adrian? What do you have going on? Where can they find you, and how can they get involved with some of what you have going on?
You know, people can follow me, you know, on social media or Instagram at Adrian Conway_. And, you know, check us out at brutestrengthtraining.com. I think that, you know, with a lot like what you're doing, Chris, is using your, you know, former athletic experience to help gain and, you know, be able to guide other people. I think that one of my strongest, or I hope that my strongest legacy that I leave here will be, you know, helping other people chase that opportunity to be the athlete that they want to be, no matter what level that looks like. And yeah. I think that hopefully both of us, you know, moving on, I hope that the biggest imprint that we get to leave is our ability to lead other men and women and, you know, the direction that they want to go with their fitness and stuff. So brutestrengthtraining.com, follow me on Instagram. And, you know, man, that's kind of what I got going on. Keep your eyes posted on, you know, the release of and some posting about our team for this coming season. That should be exciting.
Yeah. And is that going to be on your social media, or is that going to be like Wasatch type stuff?
It'll be on Wasatch and my social media. I'll probably post it a little bit on some Bruce Strength stuff as well. So the word will get out, and, you know,
awesome.
We'll keep everybody in the loop.
Sounds good, man. Well, good luck this year. And as always, thanks for what you do for the community and just how you serve it. I think it's awesome, brother.
Oh, thanks so much, man. It was an honor to be on this show. And, you know, I only always hear and see good things coming from Icon Athlete. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man. And for those of you guys that are listening in, check out Adrian. And, you know, we will continue to kind of bring you guys the goods. Upcoming things we have, you obviously have some of the open prep stuff going on. We're actually going to release a cool lifestyle package coming up in a little bit. And that's just to kind of encourage some of you guys to get outside. So stay tuned for that. We'll be posting that on our social media outlets soon. And we will talk to you guys in about a week.